You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Truth is what you want to know. Da 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 da. Perspectives is the place to go. Da 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 da.
Ashley Burgess has the key.
Da 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 da. Authentic life is how to be. Da 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 da.
Ashley Burgess, that works for me.
Da 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 da. I like that. Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Let's begin talking this evening about what I like to call negative self-talk. You know, that negative self-talk that gets in the way of our happiness, our joy, and definitely our personal progress. You know, negative self-talk is something that 99% of the population carry around with them like a backpack, like a suitcase. That suitcase is constantly sabotaging them, getting in the way of their progress, and ultimately devaluing them as a human being. You know, negative self-talk begins in our mind. And for most of us, it began in our mind at a very young age. You know, starting when we were young, this negative self-talk began. It began being cultivated in our brain, almost like planting seeds in our mind that were going to eventually bloom and not the way that we like things to bloom. This negative self-talk uses guilt and blame to shame. It uses guilt and blame to shame. It's a shame game for us to feel sorry and bad for all the things that we've done wrong, to make us blame ourselves for the things that we've done, and to feel shame by those things. You know, it devalues the work that we've done to better ourselves. It devalues our personal work that we do on a daily basis to better ourselves. It actually puts us down for even trying. Think about it. When was the last time you were doing good, things were going well, and all of a sudden this thought came into your mind about something that happened years ago that you feel a lot of shame about? And you started thinking about that and reminiscing in a negative type way, and the rest of your day was just off kilter. Things didn't seem to go right. You didn't get done what you needed to get done, and it started adding to the devaluation of yourself. And it was almost like you were being put down for trying. When we try so hard, but we just don't feel like we're good enough. It's interesting. Negative self-talk reminds me of that relative. That relative or that friend, in quotations, who, when you're at the top of your game, brings up stuff that happened in the past and makes it difficult for us to live it down. You have a relative like that. When was the last time you were sitting across the table and your relative, everybody's doing good, it's the holiday season, perhaps, and you're doing well and life is good and you have this amazing successful career. You have this successful career, things are going well, and they bring up something that you did, some bonehead move that you did years ago. And it really takes you off your target. And the same applies for ourselves. That negative self-talk within our mind is something that brings up the past and makes it difficult for us to live it down. It's like we identify with that, right? We identify with it. We're like, what the heck? I'm never going to be better than this because I did this at XYZ age. You know, our negative self-talk in our own mind when it comes to this type of sabotage is our worst enemy, who's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's like having the judge, jury, and executioner there at all times. It's not healthy, and it certainly doesn't add to a stress-free lifestyle. It's actually quite the opposite. It stresses you out. It upsets you. It angers you. It saddens you. And you don't know how to get it to stop. One thing that I found that negative self-talk does very well is it stops us often in our tracks when we try to better ourselves. It stops us often in our tracks when we try to better ourselves. Much like a huge roadblock. It's like you're walking down the street one day, everything's going well, you're doing good, you get outside, you're happy, you got some, you know, you're moving around, you're getting some exercise, you're breaking that old cycle of not exercising, you're feeling good, and you get down and you see that the road is closed. The road's closed, and you go, well, what am I going to do now? And so you turn back around, but when we have negative self-talk, we don't need to have outside barriers. We carry those police lines, those police barriers, those barriers, construction barriers, everywhere we go, right in our own mind. I mean, why need enemies? Why need people putting you down when you can do it yourself? I've been, and still sometimes am, on that side of the fence, okay? The only reason I know how to deal with this is because, one, you know, I'm trained, but two, I've dealt with this in my whole life. And I figured it out. And years ago, when I started realizing what was honestly happening, I realized there was a way around it. There was a cure, really, a cure to overcome my negative self-talk. And that cure is going to be what I talk about later on here in the hour, because I want to share this amazing life-changing information with you, because I know we all have fear. We all have stress. We all have anger. We all have personal resentment for the things that we haven't done, for the things that we, in parentheses and in quotations, really screwed up. It's all these things in life that we have to sit there and look at and understand and evaluate consciously and, for the most part, let them go. The negative self-talk feeds off our pain and hurt. It feeds off the pain and anger and agony and sadness that we have. And it pulls us away from the love that we feel. It pulls us away from love. And sometimes it makes us feel as if we are unworthy, that we're not worthy enough to be in the situation, that we're not worthy enough to accept this, but better yet, that everything that's coming our way, no matter how good it is, there's some sort of problem with it. There's an issue. There's something we need to be aware of. It makes us feel that we're unworthy of everything that comes our way in a positive light. Or we feel like there's some sort of catch to it. Because we couldn't be getting something like this. I mean, why would somebody be wanting to give us this? There's got to be a catch. I'm not good enough to get that. And, you know, it's like fighting, really, two people at once. And why I say that is that it's when you're fighting, and I do not condone fights. But I think for a lot of men out there listening, probably when you're in middle school or high school or even elementary school, you got into a brawl. And some people have gotten into brawls as adults. But think about it. When you're fighting one person, it's a lot easier than fighting two people, right? And think about it. What if you're fighting not only one other person, but you're fighting yourself? This is a big time deal here because it's hard to win. When you're fighting two people at once, it's hard to win, especially when you're fighting yourself. And I've had fights with myself, knockdown, drag-out fights with myself. I've done it before. And you know what happens out of that? Nothing good. Nothing good has come out of a knockdown, drag-out fight with myself. Quite the opposite, actually. Quite the opposite. A lot of waste of time, a lot of agony, a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, and better yet, a lot of waste of time. Because you know what? I was sad or angry or upset or depressed or feeling guilty or shame or blame about something that had happened when? Something that happened in the past. And what can we do about things in the past? You're right. It's like a Geico ad, right? Nothing. We can't change the past. All we can do is better the present moment. So all these things in the past that we feel shame, blame, and guilt about, we can't do anything about right now. All we can do is better our situation for the present moment, for our future. Stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking more about negative self-talk, how it begins, and later on, I'll be helping and talking about the cure for how to overcome your negative self-talk and get back into living and creating an amazing life. Check out my website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Also, go to Twitter and send me a question or send me a comment about this show and how you personally deal with your own negative self-talk and how you've overcome it, or even some questions, direct questions to me about how to work through this. I'd be glad to tweet you and I'd be glad to respond. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about negative self-talk. About how negative self-talk gets in the way of our happiness, our joy, but better yet, our progress. You know how negative self-talk really happens to about 99% of the population? How we all carry it around with us, virtually sabotaging us at the same time, getting in the way and ultimately devaluing us as human beings. You know, negative self-talk begins in our own mind. For most of it, it began when we were very young. You know, and it uses that guilt and blame to shame game. The good old guilt to blame to shame game. Where we're constantly feeling guilty about things that we've done. Constantly blaming ourselves. About the things we did wrong. About the mistakes that we made. About the stuff that we didn't do and the goals that we didn't accomplish and all the shame that comes with it. I mean, we don't need an enemy. We can beat our own self up, right? We're really good at beating our own self up. And we devalue the work that we've already accomplished. Because when you have the negative self-talk going on in your head, we really don't see all the positive, amazing things that we do. We don't remember all the amazing things that we did yesterday. All we think about is, what have you done for me lately? Like I was saying earlier, that it's our worst enemy and that our negative self-talk in our mind is there 24/7. The judge, the jury, and the executioner is ready to take down the prisoner. And yeah, we're the prisoner, really. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about? And the thing is that you don't need an enemy to tell you that you're not worthy. You don't need somebody to sit there and say, well, Ashley, you know what? You're a really bad pianist. Well, thanks. I already know I stink. So what are you going to say? And the problem we have the negative self-talk is that when other people sit there and tell us that kind of stuff, guess what? It reinforces us. It reinforces the negativity and it reinforces the negative. And that's a problem because we already have someone else saying it, us. Now we got them saying it. One of the major things that bugs me the most about negative self-talk, really important caveat, is that it pulls us away from love. It pulls us away from self-love because when we are talking negative about ourselves, when we're thinking negative thoughts, it's very hard to love ourselves when we're thinking about how shameful and how sad and how guilty we are. Like I was talking, it's like fighting two people at once. If you're in a fight and you got one person you're fighting, I'm not condoning fighting. However, you got one person you're fighting, okay, you have a chance. If you're fighting two people, I mean, unless you were like Arnold Schwarzenegger 20 years ago, I don't know. It's probably going to be a little tough. Well, it kind of depends on who you're fighting. But worst off, if you're fighting them and yourself, that's going to be a problem. And this negative self-talk always and ultimately gets in the way of you knowing yourself. Negative self-talk separates us from our own person. It separates us from our authentic self because it puts this divide. We sit there and we look at ourselves as not worthy, guilty, shamed, unsuccessful, failure. Never going to get this right. I don't even know why I try. I don't even know why I go out there because it's not going to happen for me. And you know, the biggest thing that I find with my clients and, you know what, with my own self, is that until I began working on my negative self-talk, until I started personally working on my self-talk to change it up, until I started doing that, I was not on purpose. My life was not on point. It just wasn't, because I couldn't see my purpose because I was too busy seeing all the faults in me. How could somebody with all these faults and all these problems have a purpose? I mean, because purposes only go to people that are like really smart and really spiritual and have this whole direction, and they've known for their whole life what they're going to do. Well, I presuppose the fact that all of us have that. It's just exfoliating these negative thoughts out of our mind to allow the positive purpose to prevail. So let's talk now about how we can overcome negative self-talk, because this is the real cure here. Because I believe that negative self-talk directly relates to disease. It directly relates to how we think about every single person in our life. It directly correlates with the way that we treat others. It directly correlates with what we do in our life, the goals that we create, the life that we achieve. All that stuff directly relates to the negative self-talk in our life. So how do we begin to overcome this? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. First off, we have to recognize the negative self-talk in order to slow it down and eventually to cease it, to quiet down that negative self-talk. In order to do that, we have to recognize that it's there. We have to see it there. And I know some of you are like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, well, the thing is that sometimes people don't know that they have negative self-talk. They don't know that that's going on in their mind because it's been going on for so long. They don't hear it anymore. I know. It's crazy because I was in that position for a little while. Like, I would hear it, but then sometimes I wouldn't. I would hear it, and sometimes I wouldn't. And it wasn't until after I made a bonehead choice, or I chose poorly for myself, that then I wondered, why did I make that choice for myself? Why wasn't I good enough to choose the other thing? But then I realized that there was something going on in my mindset, right, that made me choose the opposite of what I should have ever chosen. And that is the negative self-talk. So sometimes we have to recognize the after effects to realize that we even have it going on, because for some of us, the negative self-talk has been going on for so long, for 20, 30, 40 years, that we're unaware of it. But better yet, the one thing we are aware of are some of the choices that aren't so good that we choose. For others that are aware or are realizing they are choosing and making choices that aren't good, we have to begin to let it not fly under the radar. It cannot fly under the radar. You cannot let this go on. With every negative self-talk, with every comment, with every sentence, with every question, with every guilt and blame and shame concept going on in the head, with all that going on, we can't let it fly under the radar. We can't let it fly under the radar. It's not good, because when we do that, guess what happens? It's like agreeing to whatever. It's like somebody looking at you and saying, hey, is it okay that I break into your house? And you're like, oh, okay, whatever. Or they're like, hey, you're an idiot. Is that cool? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you can't let this go unchecked. Okay? There's got to be a guard at the castle. There's got to be a guard at the castle, and you've got to guard it. Your mind is the castle, and you've got to guard what is in there. You've got to get rid of the negative and streamline this. And you got to begin getting rid of the negative by calling it out. I know we're going to holler. We're going to call this out right now. You know, sometimes people just got to get called out, right? And sometimes this negative self-talk, well, all the time, the negative self-talk has got to get called out because it's the only way you can get rid of it. And the way that you begin calling this out is by seeing the obvious difference, because there is a difference. A lot of people don't realize this, but there is. To see the difference between you and the voice that puts you down. There is a difference between you and the voice that puts you down. It's not you. It's not you. I'm telling you, it's not you. That's what's so amazing. It's not you at all. It's separate from you. And if we watch and we begin to work this out and realize this, and we also do a good job of curtailing or stopping any sort of alcohol abuse, pharmaceutical drug abuse, you know what? Because those things actually either intensify the voice or they actually numb it, where you actually act from a negative point of view. You act from a deficit, but you just don't know why. And so in order to overcome this, we're going to talk more about this here in the next half hour, as we have to begin by hearing it and seeing the negative self-talk. We got to hear it and we got to visualize it. If we hear it and visualize it, that's the way that we can begin to what? Poof, get rid of it. It's your time. It's your time to live your life without a bunch of barriers, without a bunch of negativity, without all this guilt. I mean, life's hard enough. Life is hard enough when we're dealing with a bunch of guilt and sadness and anger and resentment, especially when it's coming from our own mind. I mean, we're all going to deal with situations. We're going to have work problems. We're going to have family issues. We're going to have all kinds of dramas. That's going to happen. That's part of what? Being a human being? Yep. So why do we have to take down ourselves as well? I'm beginning to realize that the biggest fight we have and the biggest thing that we have to overcome and the most love that we need to show is directly related to ourselves. Yes. How we treat ourselves and how we think about ourselves is the most important thing, probably in this lifetime. And why I say that is because the way I see myself and how I see myself and how much I love myself directly relates to how I love my spouse, my children, my friends, my family, my coworkers, my neighbors. The value that I give myself, the value that I've assigned myself, is directly related to the value that I assign others. If I don't see the value within myself, I don't see it at all, I'm not going to see it in anybody else. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about the cure to stop negative self-talk in your life, how to overcome it, and what happens after you've overcome it. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. I'll be back in how many shakes? Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll be back in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about negative self-talk, how to overcome it. How to get the cure, really, to cure yourself from beating yourself up day after day. How to realize when you're shaming yourself and guilting yourself on a daily basis. And how to stop making choices that undermine you and put you in a negative position. Right before the break, I was talking about how we can overcome this negative self-talk, and I was talking about how you have to begin by recognizing it first. Isn't that how everything is that we have to begin by recognizing it first? To understand where it comes from. To understand what it means. To understand how it directly relates to us. But also in a situation when you realize that it's happening. So example, when you realize that something's going on in your neighborhood. Let's say like something was, there was some sort of spousal abuse. Let's just give that example. When you recognize that it's happening, you can't let it fly under the radar, right? You got to call it out. You got to call it out. And so the same thing goes for this personal negative self-talk. I call it personal abuse, right? I mean, we're abusing the crap out of ourselves. I mean, we're putting ourselves down at every moment. We're never good enough. Everybody else is so much better than us. I mean, look, go on Facebook and see how better everybody else is to you. Come on now. Right? You go on Instagram, watch that too. Look at everybody's happy lives. You're over there like, man, crap, my life is just like sucks. And the negative self-talk, what does it do? It just puts us down. So it's time to call it out. And we begin by seeing that difference between us and that voice. There's a major difference between us and that voice of our ego who's putting us down. We got to hear it and we got to visualize it. So let's say, for example, you realize that you have negative self-talk. And let's just say that maybe you hear, you're walking down the street, everything's good, you're heading back over to the office, you grabbed a bite down the street at the sandwich sub place, right? You're walking back over to the office and life is good and you see roses and you smell them and you hear a dog barking or whatever. And all of a sudden you hear, eh, you're never going to get this promotion, this isn't going to work. Or you hear, man, I don't know if this is ever going to happen for me. I don't even know why I work so hard. Is this ever going to come? I don't think this is ever going to happen. Or, man, everybody's so much more qualified than me. My God. I mean, I'm lucky to keep this job. I hope people don't realize what an idiot I am. And think about those things. So once we hear that, it's better to hear it, but also to visualize it. So I'm not good enough. Let's just state that. I'm not good enough. See the words, I'm not good enough. Okay. See them in your head. I like to visualize like my head, like it's huge. It's like a giant head, really, you know? It's a giant head. Some people might say I have a giant head. I mean, if you look at the billboards or whatever, maybe my head does look kind of giant. But anyway, a giant head. And inside I see I'm not good enough. Okay. When I see that and I visualize it, I use an imagination technique that I have created to eliminate those thoughts. And let's talk about those possible imagination techniques that you can begin to use in your life, right? One of the things that I use is, you know, like those Nerf guns where it shoots out a little, you shoot, they're like little guns, but they're not, it's not like a weapon. It's like a Nerf gun, right? Nerf is like that soft kind of plastic material and like, you know, kids shoot the little Nerf pellets out at people, you know, and it doesn't hurt you. So I visualize using a Nerf gun to shoot out those words that I have seen in real imagery. And so each time I have a thought of, you're never going to do this, I bam, bam, I use that little Nerf gun, right? And I shoot out the words and they kind of poof out of my big brain, right? They poof out of that big brain of mine. Bam, bam, you know what I mean? And I constantly do it. So each and every time a negative thought comes back in, I poof it out of my big brain. And with every poof of that Nerf ball, of that Nerf gun, with every bam, bam, and I shoot down the words and I let them fly out of my big brain, I go back into my life. I don't try to add thoughts into my life. I'm not trying to add positive over the negative. I'm not trying to do that because when you try to add positive over the negative self-talk, it's like two records going on at one time. Have you ever been in a club where there's like two DJs playing right next to each other and you can't make out what any song is? That's what happens there. That's not good because you're just going to be like a hamster on a wheel. You're not going to be going one way or another. It's like on a seesaw, right? You're not going anywhere. You're just going up and down side to side, but you're not getting anywhere. So we're not talking about adding. We're talking about taking away. So as we begin to use this imagery, like the Nerf gun, some of you could use a slingshot. Maybe some of you fish the words out of your head and throw them out. Maybe you just poof it out of your head. Like, just blow it out, poof it. You know, you see it like smoke poofing out of your head, which each and every time, you got to be diligent and vigilant. Because when you let them fly under the radar, they begin to come back in. And let me give you an example. Is that, let's say that you're a gardener and you're tilling to your garden, you have an amazing garden and you're so proud of it, and you got all kinds of tomatoes and cabbages and okra and butter beans. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of vegetables out there, right? And every day you go out there and you till the garden and you get rid of, you know, all the weeds. Well, let's just say like a couple of days in there, you're just like, screw it. I'm tired of this weed eating thing. I don't want to do this weed stuff. I mean, you know what? A couple of weeds ain't going to do anything, okay? 2 days later, a week later, a month later, you go out there and you got weeds all over the place, right? Well, the same thing applies for negative self-talk. If you allow one of those thoughts to continue to stay in your mind, they're going to build up and they're going to fight you and they're going to bring you down and they're going to take you down better than anybody around you, better than anybody could take you down, because that's what they're good at. They're amazing at taking you down and cutting you down to size, because guess what? You created them, right? We created them when we were young, when bad things happened, when we made assumptions, when people said nasty things to us, when we had bad things happen, we were in bad situations, when we were in stressful situations, we created a lot of this negative self-talk, and it's time to let it go. It's not benefiting you anymore. It's not benefiting me anymore. Your negative self-talk isn't going to help me at all, and my negative self-talk isn't going to help you at all, because guess what? Let's say like you and I meet one day and I got a bunch of negative self-talk and you got a bunch of negative self-talk, and I look at you and you look at me and you're just smiling at me, but I got all this talk going on in my head that I think that you're smirking at me. Oh, look at that smirk on their face. They think they're real good. I think that they're all that. Yeah. Instead of knowing that this is a smile because I had this negative self-talk in my head thinking, oh, there's no way that this person could be nice to me. Think about how many conversations and interactions that we have that could go so much better if we didn't have all this negative self-talk in our head, like really creating a story that doesn't exist. This negative self-talk creates stories that doesn't even exist almost every time. And unless you're aware of it and realizing it, otherwise you make snap decisions based on a feeling, an emotion, a thought process, how you feel at that moment, how you feel, how you think they think. They must be thinking what I'm thinking. They think that I'm not worthy. Screw them. I am worthy. Walk away. It could have been like your best friend in the world. Like y'all could have been like hit it off and y'all could have created like cure for cancer together. But instead, you thought that they had a smirk instead of a smile. Because in your head, they had a smirk. Because everybody that looks like that has a smirk. That's the negative self-talk I'm talking about. And we have to see the comments for what they are. And we have to begin to see the separation from us and our negative self-talk. Because that's the thing, right? That's the thing. And I think the best thing we can do is to begin to visualize our life as a classroom. You know, bad things happen to good people. And that's why some of this took place when we were young. Some of these negative self-talks, some of these thoughts. And we have to go through a process. And I think once we begin to see the world as a classroom, instead of seeing what has been done to us, we see the lessons and recognize what is being taught. You know, I want us to begin now. So now that we've been working on this negative self-talk, I want us to start to begin to visualize our personal classroom. And the reason why I'm asking you to do this at this time is because a lot of times I think we go into situations and circumstances thinking, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a drag. This isn't going to work out. Look at that guy looking at me. He looks like a jerk. And we don't go into situations with the right thought process. A lot of it due to our negative self-talk. And so a way that we can benefit ourselves and benefit everybody around us is to begin to visualize a classroom. And let's start by visualizing our classroom. And then I'm going to explain how this works in real life. So you're going to see the classroom. You're going to visualize the desks, the chalkboard, even the smell of the new books, all that stuff. Lock in that classroom. See it. I mean, if you want to, I was a big talker in school, so if you want to, you can see my name, Ashley, on the chalkboard with 5 checks next to it, and I'm about to go down to the principal's office, not just yet. So you want to now go into the classroom for the rest of our time together. So think about it. When you go into this classroom, and every time that you go into this classroom, it's like a new experience. And what I've realized is that when I create this classroom and I visually go into this at every meeting, the meetings and the issues and the concepts are no longer about judgment. They're no longer about fear, but it allows me to have a pair of peaceful eyes. It's like I'm able to be at peace. And to me, life is a classroom, right? Life is a classroom. I mean, like the other day, I had an intern that, you know, was so happy about going out to school, and I was so happy for them. They said, "You maybe you can get your doctorate down here and go back to school." And I was like, "Man, I'd love to go back to school." And we got off the phone, and I sat down in the studio, and I went, "Man, I want to go back to school. I miss school. I love school." And about an hour later, I realized, wait a second, isn't school really a classroom within a classroom? Really? Because isn't every day of our life school? Isn't life a class? And isn't it just the way that we look at it? So when we return, I want to talk more about the classroom, but I also want to do an exercise with you. And I'm not going to ask you to run and jump up and down, because some of you might be driving. Some of you might be relaxing in bed. Some of you might just be sitting on the couch. Some of you might be just heading to a friend's house or leaving a Christmas party. But I want to do an exercise with you, and I think it's going to go a long way to helping your self-esteem, but also to ridding yourself of that negative self-talk. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Yeah, I'll be back this time in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Right before the break, we were talking about how to visualize life as a classroom. How to see every instant, every meeting, every chance meeting as a classroom. Because, you know, I was thinking about going back to college. I was like, yeah, go back to school. I love school. But I realized that college is really a classroom within a classroom, right? Because life is a classroom. And when we begin to realize that every meeting, every encounter, every situation we're in this lifetime is a classroom, we begin to see it differently, right? Like that negative self-talk doesn't really play in, because we're actually seeing it as a growing experience, as a learning experience. No judgment, no fear, with a pair of peaceful eyes. And I think that in order to be at peace in our own personal life classroom, what do we have to do? We have to love ourselves. There's no way around it. I found no way around this. I've tried. I've tried to not do that, and you know, it doesn't work. And so the only way to be at peace in our personal life classroom is to love ourselves. We've got to love and show compassion for ourselves in order to truly actually love anyone else. So right now, like I was saying earlier, I want us to do an exercise. I want you to do an exercise with me. It doesn't involve running and jumping up and down, but instead I want you to say, "I love you," for only yourself to hear. I want you to say, "I love you," inside of your body, in your mind, and allow that "I love you" to move throughout your body. Begin by slowly repeating, "I love you." As you do this exercise, I want you to see the words, "I love you." I want you to visualize them. I want you to feel the feelings that begin within your head, that tingling in your head that travels down your throat, into your chest, through your stomach, down into your legs, through your feet, and out your toes. I want you to visualize this love loop it creates from your head down through your toes and back through your head again, like in a sphere. So let's begin. Say, "I love you." Say, "I love you" within, and visualize the words and feel the words, and say it over and over again slowly with intent. Let the words flow through your entire body, making a loop from head to toe and back again. You know, love is the strongest and only real emotion that we can have. We don't have love. Instead, we are love. You know, clients always tell me that they're depressed, that they're angry, that they're insulted, that they are, you know, just fill in the blank. But when you see a picture of a lime, like a green lime, your mind doesn't say, "You're the lime." Instead, it says, "That's a lime." When we say that I'm angry, it's the same as saying I am a lime. Our self-definition is what? They keep us in a box. They put restrictions on us and they define us in ways that aren't beneficial. And they keep us in a place of little personal power. You know, when I get angry, I am no longer Ashley because I am angry. I've given up my identity. I've given up my identity to be angry. And it's a self-defeating identity that only serves to what? To upset me, to anger me, to keep me away from my true self. You know, we hear people use the words true self all the time. Authentic self. What do these mean to you? You know, true self and authentic self means to me that there's another level of identity that is real, that is true, genuine substance of who you are, who we really are, who is our authentic self. And I believe that's who you are at your absolute core. It's the part of you not defined by your work, by your job, by your societal function or role. Instead, it's the composite of all your skills, your talents, and your wisdom. In order to be authentic, we can't be anything other than our true self. There's no judgment, there can't be any guilt, and no shame in the authentic game. You know, being the person we were meant to be. The spirit who chose to come into this world. The spirit who lives in the body that we bathe and feed. Spirit is not angry. Spirit is not mad. Not depressed either. Instead, spirit is light. It is love and peace. And all these authentic characteristics create happiness with ourselves. When we are happy with self, our life gets easier. We love. We are joyful with our vulnerability. And others absolutely feel our presence. When you walk into a room, people turn to look because they can feel the energy that you bring. Your spirit is light. It is beautiful. It's unique. It's a wonder to behold. You know, it's your time to live authentically, to live on purpose, to live of purpose, and to organize your life in a way that allows you to live a life where you can see your honest, true purpose. That's what it's all about. That's it. That's the game. So after tonight, I want you to take away the concept of the classroom. I want you to visualize your own classroom. I want to take it to the next level. Begin using this tomorrow when you walk into meetings. Stressful situations that in the past have caused you to feel maybe emotional, to feel scared, to feel fear. This time, look at it as a learning opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to see things in a different light. With peaceful eyes. And I know that it'll behoove you once you begin to work on the negative self-talk, how amazing your life begins to unfold. When we begin to eliminate that negative self-talk with the imagination that we use to eliminate it, it changes our life forever. We no longer see ourselves as the victim. We no longer see ourselves as needy. We no longer see ourselves as the person that never gets it done or never got a chance or never did what they should have done. We move past the regret, the sadness, the fear, the guilt, the shame, the blame. We move past it all and we create this life that we had never imagined. Getting past your negative self-talk is the biggest bully that you will ever have to overcome. Bar none. There is nobody stronger, tougher, more equipped to take you down than yourself. And I'm being honest with you when I tell you the fact that when you begin to master this, you become a life master. Your entire life changes. Because it's one thing to be positive, right? But it's another thing to be authentic. Anybody can sit there and try to be positive and try to cover up and laminate over some of the negativity in their life. And I know that a lot of us have tried that because that's what we've been told and spoon-fed for so long. Oh, just be positive. Just let it go. Just get rid of it. Just forget it, man. It's okay. Well, you know what? It's hard to just forget it. And that's not the way you do this. There is no sugarcoating. There is no easy, breezy way. There is no pill. I am not advocating a pill tonight where you can just hallucinate for 24/7 and forget all your problems. Because you know what? They're always there. It's like moving out of town to overcome problems when the problem is going to follow you. Because you know what? You're the problem. Your own negative self-talk is the problem. Until you deal with the judge, jury, and executioner, you're never going to feel good. So three pieces of advice. One, recognize the negative self-talk in your life. Realize that it started when you were young and realize that you've been acting from it since day one. Knowing that, don't have to be feeling guilty about it. Don't have to feel bad about it. Just know it. Next step is to recognize it. Recognize it. Don't let it fly under the radar. Call it out. You're going to call. If somebody was to put you down like that, you would normally call them out, right? It's time to call them out. And then begin to hear it and visualize the words. As remember my big brain and shooting out the ideas with that Nerf gun out of my big brain that says, I'm not going to be good enough. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. And then use that imagination to eliminate these thoughts. And you will begin to have more of clarity, understanding. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll be more authentic, positive, and you'll be more there and ready to experience life. Because you know what? You won't have a head game going on in your head 24/7 trying to forge that and trying to figure out where you fit in. Because you know what? You'll fit in wherever you want to fit in. Great show for you next. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Go online to Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker. It's Speaker with an R. And got some really great stuff up there, too. Some podcasting that you won't hear on terrestrial radio. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you get a chance, contact me. Go to my website, go to my About, and go to Contact, and send me an email, and I will respond ASAP. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful night. And Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in, you know, three shakes.